Heavenly Father, maker of heaven and earth, set up your kingdom in our midst. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on us. Holy Spirit, very breath of God, renew us and all the world. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Luke chapter 2. Whew. Well, I tell you, I'm really full from breakfast. Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 29. Luke 21, beginning at verse 29. We're entering in the gospel reading, and Jesus foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But verse 29, Luke 21, and he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come into leaf, you see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things, the things he's just been talking about, take place, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass. Read that again. Heaven and earth will pass, but my words will not pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day would come suddenly like a snare. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. But watch at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And every day he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and lodged at the mount called Olivet. Let's pray. Almighty God, give us the grace to cast away those works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now at the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, that we may rise to life immortal through him who loves and reigns with us, with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen and amen. Marcia read Jeremiah chapter 33. And a couple things are happening here that I want to take just a little time to talk about and explain before we get to, I think, something that I want to share with us that I feel like the Lord is speaking to, at least to me, and I hope to you also. But in Jeremiah chapter 33, our Old Testament reading, God is explaining through Jeremiah that he's about to do something that he's been prophesying and predicting for a long time. He's basically about to bring Jesus. He's about to bring the Messiah, the Son of David, the root of Jesse, all those terms that we see in the Old Testament about Jesus, and that he's about to do that. But in the process of that, if you read the context, when Jeremiah has prophesied other things, the part we see is just kind of like the end tale of what the prophecy was. But Jeremiah, back in chapter 32, starts to prophesy that basically God is going to deal with Israel's idolatry. You may remember me teaching this, or maybe you've read this, or maybe you know this, that a part of the old covenant, God said, look to me, worship me, serve me, do not turn to idols, because if you turn to idols and you forsake me, I will remove you from the land. That was part of the Old Testament, the old covenant promise. That God said, hey, if you love me, you serve me, you worship me, it will go well with you. But you turn your back on me, and I'm going to remove you from this land. So what Jeremiah is beginning to say is, they have turned to Baal and Ashtaroth and all the idols, and they have forsaken God. Therefore, God is about to take them, like their sister Israel, up to the north, to Assyria. That has already happened. And Jeremiah is saying, Judah, if you don't change your ways, if you don't turn, that will be your end. Well, the king Zedekiah said, don't talk like that, and he put him in jail. In fact, he put him in a hole, put him in a well, in a cistern. And he's down there, and he's like, hey, listen to the last half of the prophecy. Because the last half of the prophecy is, but when the time is done, I will bring you back to this land. I will establish you. You will rebuild the walls. You will rebuild the temple. And through you will come the Messiah. You see, what was happening is Judah and Israel were about to go through a change. They were going to have one condition that they had for a while, and then they were going to have a new condition. And in that new condition, then they were eventually, as he prophesies, come back to the land and have a different condition. You see, the reality is God is working. Amen? God's taking us from one place to the other. Somebody told me one time, Tom and I were talking this morning about, he's making a presentation this week about water usage in Oklahoma, down at some place in Oklahoma City, a big deal. Big deal, right? Big deal. And the thing about it is that, and I'm aware of this, if you have a pond that has no stirring, a pond that has no inlet and outlet, you have stagnation. You have death. And God understands that, so God doesn't want us to stay in the same place all the time. How many of you enjoy where you're at? Don't take me there. I don't want to go there. But God wants to grow us. God wants to take us to new places in Him. And so in that transition time, it's difficult. Do you agree? Israel and Judah were about to have some difficult times. When we get to this gospel reading, Jesus in Luke 21 has been talking about the destruction of the temple, which, if I can explain, is that when, let me ask, let's kind of weigh this a little bit. And boy, there's so much here. I want to get into so much as a teacher, but I can't this morning because we'll be here till like 4. But, you know, hey, we had a good breakfast. We could stick it out, right? Some of you. Some of you that could make breakfast are like, nuh-uh. But what has happened is Jerusalem and Israel had forsaken God and worshipped idols. So after all of that happens, they're taken captive, they're brought back, they reestablish in Israel. God fulfills the promise that He made through Jeremiah. Then He fulfills the other promise in Mary, born a virgin, came Jesus Christ. And the Messiah came, and guess what they did with the Messiah? They rejected Him. Not only did they turn from God and worship idols in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, that prompted the thing and the fulfillment of the Old Covenant, but Jesus came, God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, came among them, and they rejected Him. And so what Jesus is saying is, this temple, you know, we've talked about this for a couple weeks in the Scriptures. This temple that you pride so much in, guess what? It's going to be torn, not one stone upon the other. It's going to be torn down because God is going to do something different. What God is going to do is He's getting away from the sacrificial system of God in a building, and He wants to go global. He wants to go to the Gentiles. He wants everybody to know that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so to do that, the way Israel has been, if you read the history, He's got to end what their practice is to begin something new. He's got to grow them. He's got to take them from one place to another. And that's sometimes a tough thing, isn't it? We celebrate Advent. First Sunday of Advent is a Sunday of hope. And we hope in that thing which God has promised. It's a confident assurance that what God has promised, He will do. Now, He hasn't done it yet, as we celebrate, so to speak. You follow me on that, don't you know? Yes, Jesus has been born, but in our celebration, we are looking forward to that. Okay? So we look forward in hope, and so we light a candle. And this candle reminds us that God has promised that there is hope, and one of these days, the promise that He has made will be fulfilled. Now, for those of you that are new to this church, every Sunday we'll light another candle until Christmas Eve night when we have our candlelight service, and then we get to light the Christ candle as we celebrate the birth of Messiah, celebrate the birth of Jesus. But what's it like going through difficult times? How many of you have lived through some kind of transition? How many of you are in the midst of a transition right now? It's tough, isn't it? But yet, as I see it in scriptures, God has taken his people through transition after transition for the whole history. He's led them to a new place. Now, the question is, how can we get there? Well, let me talk to you about this thing. Some of you have heard me speak on this, but it's a thing called liminality or luminality. Anybody ever heard of that? That's basically when you're transitioning from one thing to another. All right? Let me show. This is the way that you used to think or that you used to do or that the habits that you formed. This is who you are now. But you begin to see God moving you, and through his scriptures, through his Holy Spirit, he's moving you, and he's showing you something, and he's teaching you something, and he's guiding you someplace, and you look over and you see this new place that he wants you to go. Now, as I'm growing, there's a couple things that happen in us. First of all, we're not really sure where we're going fully to be really comfortable in it. But yet we know enough where we're going and we see the reality enough that this just doesn't seem to be the same as it always was. Now we have a choice. Right here we have a choice. We can turn and we can jump back, or what I call rubber band back, to the way we used to be, and we never grow anymore. Okay? Or we can grow into this new thing and new place that God has taken us. We can, by faith and hope, take some steps in the right direction to come to a new place, a new understanding of who God is and what God wants to do. The old is gone, the new has come. Well, I love that phrase. But you know what happens? If we get too comfortable here, we have a little trouble because we on the go. This is a journey. And if we get too comfortable here, we're not paying attention, but God wants to show us something over there. And as we show us something, well, he shows us something over there, we think, oh, boy, I never thought of that. I wonder if that's right. Let me take a little look at that. Wait, what? You know, and we're in that liminal time, you know, that time where we don't really know, we don't feel comfortable anywhere. Anybody ever felt like that? Advent brings us into that uncomfortableness. Here is the promise that the Messiah has come, but he hasn't yet to the Jewish world. But that night when he's birthed and he's born, it's a wonderful night. We have been told that Jesus is coming back, but it hasn't happened yet. So we're in that liminal time. You know, all of these stories, that all these things that Jesus talks about the destruction of Jerusalem, he is very specific here. But there are three action terms that I want to focus on today. And I want to look at these pretty closely. All right? You with me? I'm going to get in my teacher's mode for about 5 minutes here. All right? So the first one, let me see if I covered all of that. Yeah. All right. Let's look back at this passage. Look at verse 34. Of Luke chapter 21, verse 34 of Luke 21. This is, okay, I'm going to read this verse out of my Bible, but the probability is your Bible will say something different. And if we took a survey, everybody's Bible might say something different. Here's what 34 says: "But take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down." Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down. Now, in the context of this passage, Jesus is concerned that if they're involved in all this other stuff, their worries, their care, I got all these cares, they're involved in these things, that they're going to miss the warning that he just gave up a few verses up in verse 20 when he said, "When you see the armies of Titus and Rome surrounding Jerusalem, get out. Don't go back, get out. If you're involved in a bunch of other stuff, you're not paying attention, you might miss that." So he says, "Don't be aware, don't miss that." So that's some specific stuff for them, particularly with the dissipation, the drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day will come. But let's look at this word, take heed to yourself. Some of yours may say, be aware. What's some of your words in your versions? Watch carefully. Be careful. Well, part of the reason that you have different words and different translations is because this Greek word is really hard to translate. Okay? But I want to make this a little more sense to you. The word literally means, now this is going to sound weird, but the word literally means to bring to. In other words, if you are worried or concerned when you're in that place, you bring yourself to someplace else. All right? Like one of the illustrations that they gave was to bring a ship to land. If you're in a storm, what do? You bring a ship to land. So you tie it down. To touch, to put in, to turn the mind toward, to attend, to be attentive to something, to give attention to, take heed, apply oneself to, attach oneself to, almost be addicted to that. I'm telling you, it's a strange word. But what's he talking about being attached to? What's he talking about bringing our ship to? What's he talking about heeding to? Well, it's the phrase right before it when he says, this heaven and earth will pass away, but what will last forever? My words, Jesus' words, Jesus' way will last forever. So we need to bring ourselves as a ship to the shore. We need to bring ourselves to the teaching of Jesus in that unsecured, insecure time in liminality when we're from one place to the next. If you're going through stuff, who do you listen to? I was talking to an individual this week, and this individual said, with age, I think I've kind of figured out that when you ask everybody's opinion, they give it to you. Yeah. And it sometimes is confusing. Yeah. And if we're in that liminal time when we need to draw near to somebody, who should we draw near as believers? We should draw near to Jesus. I love that. I love that mindset. So what he's saying there is in the midst of transition, in the midst of that, we need to beware, we need to be careful, we need to draw near to the words of Jesus that will never pass away. I was laying there last night, and I was trying to get sleep. I don't know if Patty was asleep or not, but I was laying there, and I was thinking about this. I thought, that's a crazy word here. I gotta have a picture. And all of a sudden, the Lord gave me a picture, and I had to jump up and run and finish my sermon. There's a place I drive on the school bus. I have a girl that I drop off out past your house, out on 13th. And her family, you guys do too, but her family raises cattle, and they're right there in the field by her house. This has been a wonderful time because almost every day we go by the field, there's new calves. And it's like, it's so cool. But I noticed something, and this is what I want, because I think this is a perfect picture. When I drive that big yellow bus down that road, and those calves are like outstanding by themselves, anybody happen to know what those calves do? They take off and they run, but they run to mama. I'm assuming, I don't know. I mean, it checks the ear tags or anything, but, I can't hear out of the bus and hear the calf go, mama! That's not what I'm hearing, but what I see, and this was so cool. The other day, we were going there, and she said, oh, look, we got two new calves, and just as I looked up, the one calf saw the bus, and it's like, ah! And ran off, and I glanced over, and the calf had run around behind mama cow and was going like this. I just wanted to go hug that calf. And of course, she'd run away. And mom would probably do something to me. But anyway, that's the perfect picture. When we're in the midst of that confusion, I don't know what, we run to take the ship to shore. We run to Jesus. We run to the words of Jesus. He brings some security. He brings some sense. He brings some truth to our life. So we're in the midst of transition, and things seem to be so confused, we have to run to Jesus. Amen? Next word here is in the next few verses is to be always on the watch or awake or to not go to sleep. Remember Jesus telling the parable about the 10 virgins? So there were five wise that they stayed awake, and they kept the oil in their lamp. And give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Anybody remember that song? That comes from that passage. And as we see that, there were five wise virgins because they kept the oil. They were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom, and they kept the oil there. They kept their lamps lit. They stayed awake. And five others were foolish because they did what? They went to sleep. So the bridegroom comes, and how many of you are good in the morning? Let me restate that. When you first open your eyes, how many of you are like all there? A few. But most people are like, what? Huh? You know, that's the way most people are like in the morning. Those five foolish virgins were like that in the morning. When the bridegroom came and said, it's time for the wedding! It's time for the wedding! And they went, huh? And the wise virgins are up with their oil lamp and they're ready to go. They're ready to go. Jesus says, don't be asleep. Stay awake. Now, he's not talking about don't go to sleep at night. He's saying, but live in a realm of awakeness. Pay attention to what's going on around you. I want to read you a passage from Ephesians chapter 5. You don't have to turn to it unless you just want to, but listen to this. For once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. And try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Now that's one of those statements that you wish he'd have gone on a little bit. Because what he's really saying there is try to find out what's pleasing to the Lord, comma, and do it. For it is a shame to even speak of those things that they do in secret. But when everything is exposed by the light, it will become visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it is said, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Stay awake. Look carefully then. See, this is what that word means. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Remember the story of the virgins? Making the most of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, comma, and do it. And do not get drunk with wine, and he goes on to other stuff, but sing and admonish others in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and he goes on with some encouraging things for them there. But what's he saying? He's saying, first of all, when you're in the midst of this transition, run to Jesus. Don't listen to everybody else. There's all kinds of voices out there. Run to Jesus. What does he say? What does he think? What's he? Walk with him a while. Run like the calf to the mama cow and hide behind the legs of Jesus. Hide behind our big brother. Amen? Pay attention to what's going on around you. Be awake so nothing surprises you. Paul used to use the old word, the old King James word is walk circumspectly. You know what walk circumspectly? By the way, it's from this passage in the King James. You know what walk circumspectly means? If you're walking and you're circumspectly, you're paying attention to what's going on around you. We need to be aware. We need to be awake. We need to know what's going on. We need to realize when things are pulling us down, when things are pulling us away. Because in the time of darkness, in that time of liminality, in that time of between dusk and dawn, between darkness and light, things can get kind of confusing. Amen? Another illustration I thought of is, how many of you have been out like in the morning when it's dark but it's still light and you look at something and you thought it's something else? Yeah. One morning I'm on that same road and it's turning and there's a, you know, after the flood, there's like this big log that's right in the field. And I could have sworn there was a car there. I'm ready to stop my bus thinking somebody went off the road. But the closer I got, it's just a big old log. But boy, it sure had me upset. My heart was beating. I started, what am I going to do? You know, when things are kind of in that dusk to dawn light, things can be confusing. We need to be awake. We need to pay attention. We need to get to Jesus. And the last action word is simply pray. Pray. Pray for what we're going through. Pray for wisdom. Pray for guidance. Pray for direction. Pray for what God wants to do in our lives. Amen? Let's go to the Thessalonians passage that's in our reading today. And I want to read a part of that for you. Thessalonians. It's 9 through 13, but Paul is praying for the church. Now, as I'm talking here, I want you to hear this and understand that we're talking about hope. We're talking about living in between the promise and the fulfillment. And sometimes that can be kind of confusing. So we've got to draw near to the one who promised. We've got to pay attention to what's going around us. We've got to pray. We've got to spend time with him. But then we hold our hope, we hold together, we look ahead, we think about what the promise was. Hebrews chapter 11 is full of those who believed what God promised even though they hadn't seen it yet. And they lived a life based on that reality, even though they couldn't see fully the reality. That's hope becoming faith that leads to fulfillment. But in this, Paul says, I'm going to pull his prayer out of here. He prays that he would come soon and restore whatever was lacking in their faith. But here's what his prayer is. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another, for all, and abound for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he strengthen your hearts in holiness, that you may be blameless before our God and Father in the coming of the Lord Jesus with all of his saints. Now, when I use those two words, our mind are going one of two ways if we're in the transition. We go, blameless, holy. I can't be those things. I can't make those things happen in my life, particularly if I'm confused, if I don't know which way's up and which way's which to go. I can't do those. Here's the cool thing. You, as a believer and as faith in Jesus, have been gifted with a couple of things. You have been made holy because of the blood of Jesus, and you are blameless in his sight. Isn't that good? So Paul's praying that they would walk in the reality that they have been made holy and they have been blameless. You see, there's a passage. This is my favorite passage in the Bible. Not until I get to another passage. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 says, by one single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being made holy. So in other words, by our faith in Jesus, what Jesus does is he plants in us his holiness. We're blameless before him. He gives us that by faith. That's what we are. But then he begins a work in us to take us to where those things are exhibited in our lives. One of the words there actually literally means majesty. We take on the characteristics of God. We don't have those by our own effort. We are given those by Jesus, and then God begins to work on our lives to make us more holy, to make us blameless in our life, in our action, and in our moral choices. Amen? It's a process. It's a process that takes you from here to here to here to be more like God, to be more like Jesus. And what do you do when you walk through those times when you're just not sure about all of this? You run to Jesus, you pay attention to those things that would trip you up around you, and you pray. And you get to the next place. And the new position, you're always righteous, you're always blameless, you're always holy in his sight, but he's working that out in you so that your actions begin to reflect who you already are. Do you understand that phrase? God wants you to reflect who you already are, who he's made you. And sometimes that can be kind of difficult and troubling. Amen? To do something and realize, well, that wasn't very holy. That wasn't very blameless. But to be able to go to Jesus and say, you know what? But you have made me holy and you have made me righteous and I stand blameless before you. Help me. Get this out of my life. Help me walk in this new reality that you have given me. Help me to become exactly who you have made me to be. Because all of us, every day of our life, are between the promise and the fulfillment. He who called us is faithful. Amen? He who called us is doing a work on our lives and will bring it to completion. Amen? So we have hope that one of these days, I'm going to be like Jesus. Not just because he says I'm holy and righteous, but because my life has been transformed to be more like him. Let's pray. Father, we are in this time. This is a season of preparation to celebrate the days of Christmas. But Lord, a lot of the lessons that we can learn from the Scriptures about those who wait, we can apply to our lives and as we grow, as we learn to be more like Jesus. Lord, where we have been gifted with holiness. We have been gifted with righteousness. We have been gifted with the reality that we are blameless in your sight, not because of our efforts, but because of what Jesus has done for us and his life given for us.